it for granted. Nothing is impossible to our Savior. That is the power that God wants to infuse into you and me, into believers. This is not something guaranteed to anyone. This is something God grants as a gift to His children. And if we are not part of His family, we have no right to it. Only those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, who have repented of their sinfulness and put their faith in Him and Him alone, only those people are granted the right to claim this awesome power. Thankfully, any of us can receive His salvation. Any of us can be adopted into His family. It says in the Bible, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says that Jesus died on the cross to save the entire world. I kind of get a little bit hot under the collar when I hear brothers in Christ talking about limited atonement and how Jesus only died for the elect and how He wouldn't have wasted His sacrifice on one who would He knew who would reject Him. That's just not biblical teaching. And I have a dear brother that I love very much, and he seems to adopt this, and we're going to have a conversation about it one day, but that's not true. Jesus died for everyone, even those who will reject Him, and He knew they would. But that is His glorious power, that eternal strength, the ability to do anything. And truly, I want to say, verily, verily, I say unto you, it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He is God's power in us. We would not have access to the power of God without the Holy Spirit indwelling our lives, our hearts. That's what happens at salvation. Part of what happens is that God sends His Holy Spirit, which is Him. He comes to live inside our soul. He takes up residence there. He is the power of God in us. You see, He is a different source of power than what we have in ourselves. You see, it's one thing to know what to do or have a desire to accomplish something. It's one thing to know what I should be. It's a whole different story to have the power to actually accomplish that goal, to achieve that desired end, to have the ability to get there. I might want to go to the moon. I might know that I need to get there for some reason. I might know that my desire, but to actually have the ability to get to the moon is way beyond me. I don't keep a rocket in my backyard. I think there's a movie about that. I don't have the knowledge, the equipment. I don't have the funds to pay someone who has the knowledge and equipment. I can't get there. To desire to go to the moon, yep. But to actually have the power to get there, I don't got it. And that's what we're talking about here. We might have a desire to walk in a manner that is worthy of the name Jesus Christ. We might know that we ought to live this way or stop doing this or start doing that. We might know that's what we need to do, but having the power to accomplish those things is a whole other story. I don't have the power to accomplish those things in myself. We talked last time about having a desire, a deepening relationship with Jesus. Growing in my true knowledge of Him, my deep relationship with God. I don't have the ability to grow in a relationship with God in heaven unless He gives it to me. I can't get there without His power. I need a different source for my power to accomplish the task. In our church, think about our church vision. It's one thing to desire to have good fruit, to grow in relationship with Father, or to walk in a manner worthy of Christ, but to have the power to actually do those things and see them become reality requires a different source of strength than the one we have. You know, I know from experience that my own strength is not enough to get me where I want to be. I know in a new and deeper way why pastors burn out. Pastor burnout is a major problem in our country. And I know why. And I used to think it was because they weren't really called to it. And I think that is part of it. Sometimes guys go into pastoring and they weren't really called to be pastor. They just love God, but they're not called to that ministry. And they try to get into it and they're just not equipped for it and they burn out. But I also understand why some pastors who are called to ministry also burn out. It's because they're seeking the strength to do what they need to do from within, from their own source of strength instead of from the Lord's source of strength. They're trying to do great things for Jesus, but they're not depending upon the power of God to do those things. It's very difficult to surrender my own power and my own abilities and my own talents to God and draw on the strength that He has given to me. It's hard to remember. It's not hard to do it. It's just hard to remember that that's where my source needs to come from. I'm telling you, our church will burn out. Our church, this body of believers, will burn up and burn out if we are seeking to do things in our own strength. Not a single one of us can do any good without the power of God. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the source of our strength. The source of any good fruit in the world is Him. The fruit of the Spirit is just that. It's the fruit of His making. It's the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And Hannah, I don't know if you're able to pop that up on the screen, but you can do it if you want to. But in that passage, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it teaches us that love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control are the fruits that the Spirit brings about. We can't bring about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We can't do it. We can't do it in ourselves. It has to be done in His strength. Ephesians 3:16 is not very far away in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It reads this. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. You see, this concept is not just in Colossians 1. It's all throughout the Bible. I only wrote down four verses. It's everywhere. Philippians 4:13, also very close to Colossians. The book right before. Philippians 4:13 says this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It doesn't say I can do all things in my own strength. It says through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. And then in John 15, in John 15, verses 4 and 5, Jesus taught us this. Listen, please, very carefully to the words of Jesus. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. What's the source of our strength, church? What power are we seeking? You might be sitting there saying, okay, I get it. We have to seek a different source. We can't do it on ourselves. It's all got to be Him. How do I do that? Here's the way. Abide in the Word. Abide in the Word and pray often. Be constantly in communication with the Father. That's what it means to abide in Him. He said if we will keep His commandments, well, anyway, I've turned away from John 14. Going back. Verse 23 of John 14 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Lord abides in those who keep His word. We dwell in Him by dwelling in His word. How do I do that, preacher? Okay, so, you know, pull in your toes and put on your steel-toed boots because this might hurt you a little bit. It means I turn off the TV and open my Bible. It means I put my phone down and open my Bible. It means I tell my friends, I'm sorry. I just feel like I need to spend some more time in the Bible tonight. Or just, I have a previous appointment. I can't make that party. It means I spend time memorizing the Scriptures rather than memorizing, this is my struggle, memorizing all the Marvel Cinematic Universe characters and all of their nuances. I mean, I love, you know, the Marvel superheroes. They're cool. And DC, of course, my big guy when I was growing up was Superman. It means recognizing that the Bible is way more important than those things. How do I abide in Him? How do I find this source of power? This miraculous strength to do good in the world? Well, we'll talk about the purpose behind the strength in a minute, but how do I find it? Abiding in the Word. And seeking His face in prayer. It just all comes down to that, honestly. If you want to see these things happen in the world. And Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. This church will do nothing apart from Jesus. As a body of believers, we will not be effective in the world without Him. Without, as I said a few weeks ago, the ministry of the Word and prayer. That's important as elders that we are doing that. But it's also important for all the rest of you. Every member of the body in their own life must be in the ministry of the Word and in prayer. That might not be the way that your gift, your role in the body is expressed as a community, but in your personal walk with God, the ministry of the Word and prayer is the way we grow. Now listen, what's the purpose of this strength? I talked about this strength, being strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. It's the strength of God. It's the Holy Spirit infused into us, filled. But what's the reason? What's the purpose of that strength? Why are we strengthened? Certainly, it's to bring about the fruit of the Spirit in the kingdom of God. To bring about love, joy, peace, faith, gentleness, self-control. All those things should be coming about in the kingdom of God. In our group, in our body, and in our circle of influence, our friends and our family, co-workers, etc. The power of God is there to bring about that fruit. But there's more. What does the text teach us? This passage of Scripture, what is it pointing us to? Look at verse 11 again. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. We are infused with His glorious power unto, for the purpose of, patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. All right, more Greek. Patience, and these ones are hard to say. Patience means hupomone. See, I told you. It means cheerful or hopeful endurance, steadfastness, constancy. Remember that Shakespearean sonnet I like to quote sometimes? Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds or bends with the remover to remove. It's not true love if it is not steadfast, if it does not endure. The word for long-suffering is makrothumia. I think I did it right. It means forbearance, fortitude, perseverance. It means to suffer a long time. Long-suffering, it means enduring difficulties with joyfulness. The Greek word for joyfulness here is chara, which was like, oh, chara. I'm thinking about baby names lately. The melody's like, oh, I got to do that. Chara means cheerfulness, calm delight, gladness. To endure a long time with constancy and faithfulness and steadfastness, trials and difficulties, but not endure them with a, I don't know why I have to suffer like this. It's so awful. How come God is doing such horrible things to me? This is awful. With calm delight. With joy. Joy doesn't mean happy. Joy means contentedness and security and peacefulness, even when I'm sad. That is the purpose, one of the purposes of the power of God in our life, to enable us to endure the sufferings of life, the hardships, trials, even persecutions and attacks of the enemy. God has given us a way to endure those things, and it's through His power, His strength, His undefeated, irresistible, majestic, awesome, incredible strength, that miraculous power that He wants to infuse into us more and more is given not just to do miracles and wow people and name of Jesus, be healed. You know, that kind of stuff. That's part of it. But that's not the only reason. In fact, Paul is telling the Colossians, one of the main reasons we are given the power of God's Spirit is to endure suffering. Not to take suffering away, but to endure it with joyfulness. With a joyful, calm delight in our Savior. And you see, the endurance of these trials with a peace that passes understanding from Philippians 4, that causes the world to marvel. When we endure these trials, these hardships, these persecutions, these challenges that come to everybody, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, you're going to have these trials. Life is hard. Life is difficult. It's challenging. There's suffering around, all around. But when we are enabled to endure with steadfast, calm delight in our Lord, the hard things of life, the genuine, true suffering that is part of living in a sinful world, when we endure those things in the power of the Holy Spirit with a peace that nobody can understand and nobody figures out, people go, what's with you? what is in you that I don't see anywhere else? How are you able to do that? I would have cracked months ago, but you still somehow have peace in God. I want that. That's what happens in the world. But listen, if we're not in the world, if we're just secluded up in our little ivory tower, the world never sees the enduring of this suffering. That's why Jesus said, I pray that they'd be in the world, but not of the world. Worldly behaviors are wrong. But to be in the world, to be seen by the world, is what Jesus wants from us. And he wants us to access, to receive his Holy Spirit to infuse us with power, not so we can walk around healing everybody's suffering, not so we can speak in tongues, although those are all parts of it, not so we can have these prophetic words and all these amazing, miraculous things, although that's part of it. He also has given that to us to endure our own suffering. God never promises to take our suffering away if we come to him. That is totally wrong. Some people in this society are teaching that if you come to God, everything is great, and that he takes away all of your troubles, and all of life is joy and gladness and happiness, and wow, you can be successful and wealthy and happy if you'll just follow Jesus. And that is from the pit. Because what happens when all of that success and joy and happiness disappears in a puff of smoke? What happens when it burns up in the fire of unbelievable pressure and suffering? You go, well, those guys lied to me. Forget Jesus. I don't care about him. The Lord does not promise our suffering to be removed. He promises to walk with us through the suffering. He promises to enable us to endure it with joyfulness. That is the promise of the Holy Word of God. Not that suffering would not be there, but that we could take it. It's only believers that can take it with joy. Other people turn to drugs, they turn to sex, they turn to any other number of escapes or pleasures to just escape from all of their pressures and hardships and difficulties. It's the believer that has the power within them to endure those trials. Some people have liked to say that religion is a crutch, that dependence upon God is a crutch for the weak, and it's actually only believers that have the strength to endure the hardships of all of life, because they have the power of God within them. Our church should not expect to be free of trials. The blessing of God upon an organization, upon a group, upon a church, does not mean that they receive no opposition, no obstacles, no challenges or difficulties. We should not expect that. We should see the power of God to help us endure those challenges, those hardships, those struggles. That's what, as a body, we need to seek after. The power of God that will enable us to endure those hardships and difficulties. In fact, if we're walking as we should walk, we'll probably face greater attacks than we normally would. You and I are in a battle. And that often means that things are very, very hard. If you're in a battle, you're not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. We have to realize that as believers, we are in a spiritual battle. We are going to endure suffering and difficulties of all sorts. But we have to go to the power of God to give us the strength to endure that. How do we find that power? The Bible. Prayer. Are you facing hardship? Is our church facing challenges? Are you as an individual facing suffering or difficulties or hard things? You will find the grace to endure it. You will find the awesome power of God to steadfastly go through it with joy as we spend time in the Word and in prayer. As we seek the Lord's face in His Word and in prayer, things are different, folks. We put this book on the shelf and we talk about how great it is, but we don't actually take the time to go there, to read it, to listen, to meditate, to memorize. We don't. We just struggle there. Why do we struggle there? It's because the devil fights against us as hard as he can. He'll even distract us with good things, fun, wonderful things, in order to keep us out of the Word. He says practically, the devil would say to us, I'd be happy with you doing anything else, just please stay out of the Bible. Please don't ever pray or read the Bible. You can do anything else. I'll take the lesser of two goods any day. Instead of the lesser of two evils, the devil accept the lesser of two goods if we'll just stay out of the Bible and not pray. God changes us through His Word. God gives us power through His Word. And if this church is going to have power, strength, be infused with strength from God, the power, the glorious, insurmountable, undefeatable power of God, if we're going to have that kind of life, that kind of power in this body, we have got to seek His face in prayer. We have got to be desperate for truth in His Word. And we've got to go to His Word to find that strength. That is the way. It's not through some spiritual mumbo jumbo, or if I hold my rabbit ears just the right way, then God infuses me with power. That's not the way it works. It's not how many times I go to church that infuses me with the power of God. You can come to church every single day of the stinking week. You can be here as every time the doors open. You will not get more power from God that way. Please hear me. It doesn't matter how often you come to church as to how spiritual you might be. It matters how much of God's Word is in your heart. It matters how much time you've spent on your knees seeking His face. That's what really matters. Now, I'm not saying you should not come to church. Don't forsake the gathering of the brethren together. But that you can come here till you're blue in the face, and it won't do any good if you're not putting the Word into you. This church will not be effective, will not see fruit, will not be able to endure our trials and challenges if we are not putting the Word of God at its highest priority. Do you want to see power in your life? Do you want to see the ability to endure trials and challenges with joyfulness? Do you want to see God changing people's lives everywhere you go? Do you want to see miraculous things happening? I thought about talking about all the miraculous things that can happen when a person is infused with the power of God. It would blow your mind what God wants to do in you and me, what He can do. Do you want to see that happen? Time in the Bible. Seeking His face, because this is how He abides in us. It's how we abide in Him. And apart from that, we can do nothing. Our church has to recognize this important fundamental truth. We must seek the power of the Holy Spirit in our body. Now, does it mean that you're going to fall over on the ground, the slain in the spirit stuff, that you're going to speak with tongues? It doesn't mean necessarily that you have all these miraculous manifestations of the Spirit of God, but it does mean that you'll endure trials with joyfulness. It does mean that God will begin to bring forth fruit in awesome and incredible ways in our church body if we'll seek His face in prayer and if we'll seek His face in the Word. I've been saying a lot of stuff. I've been yelling. I've been telling you what I believe God has put upon my heart in every way I know how. And sometimes I feel like I don't communicate very well. But I'm telling you that this is the truth of God's Word, as the best I can understand it. And it needs to be a part of our church body. It has to be a part of the things that we are pursuing. Part of the vision of our church needs to be this direction, that we will seek the power of God, not the power of men. Not the power of community. Somehow if we are all just, you know, pulling together, we'll do great things. That's not it. It's the power of God that gives us the ability to get to the moon. The ability to do the great things we desire, that we want, that we know we should be doing. It's the power of God that gets us there. It's the power of God that gives us faithfulness, patience to suffer a long time with joyfulness. What are you suffering today? What is your hardship that God has asked you to endure? Are you seeking His strength to endure it? I'm telling you, if you feel worn out, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel stressed out, maybe you're seeking the wrong source of strength. Are you frustrated by a lack of fruitfulness in your life? Are you frustrated by difficulty in seeing the hand of God working? Well, maybe you've not been allowing the hand of God to work. Maybe you're trying to see your hand working. If we want to see fruitfulness in our ministry, if we want to see fruitfulness in our lives, if we want to see the power of God expressed, we need to come to God for power, for strength, for ability to do, to say, to be what He wants. What source are we seeking? What source are we seeking? We need to seek the strength of God, not the strength of men. Not any other source of power anywhere. Only Him. Bow your heads with me, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you a question. Do you need to change something in your life? Do you need to change something in your life? Is God speaking to you? Are you seeking Him? Are you seeking Him alone? In a moment, I'm going to pray, and if you need to do business with God, I implore you to do that business with God. Our altar is always open, and if you need to do business here at the altar, humbling yourself before everyone here, this altar is open. Father in heaven, I ask You to pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us now and show us where we need to change. Show us, Lord, as a body of believers, how to seek Your power in our daily life, in our church life. Help us to know how to seek Your strength, to pursue Your power, Your incredible, glorious power. Please help us. Lord, all these things we've talked about this morning, these truths we've shared together, Lord, they're ineffective without you. They won't do us any good. We need you to make these things work, to make these things come about in our heart. Please help us to surrender, to sacrifice, to give up all the other sources of strength that we have sought, and help us to seek after your power alone. Would you please give us the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, we invite you to be a part of each one of our services, but today, in a new and a fresh way, we invite you, we beg you, to infuse us with your strength, to come here and be a part. We invite your presence. We invite your power to do whatever it is that you want to do in and among us. Whatever it is, Lord, that you want to do, come and do it. We cry out to you, Holy Spirit, please. Don't pass us by. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Lord, let us be a part of what you are doing in the world. Let us make a difference for the sake of the kingdom. And we will give you all the glory for what you do in our midst. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.